Sunday Jewish Radio.
Our top story here on Sunday Jewish Radio this week is that back in 2003, the Jewish community learnt that 22-year-old student Jeremiah Duggan died in Germany. His body was found on the Autobahn near Wiesbaden hours after attending an event organised by La Ruche, and that is a group that is seen as far right. His death has left many questions unanswered for his whole family, and nearly 12 years on to the day, his mother, Erica Duggan, joins me now to tell us her story. Erica, thank you so much for speaking to us on Sunday Jewish Radio. Please, can you just remind us, for those who are listening who might not remember what happened, could you please take us back to that day and just describe the events surrounding it?
Well, it was at the time when the Iraq War was beginning. I think it was really the week in which the British troops went into Iraq, and we saw on the television pictures of the desert and the tanks going across the desert, and everybody was very worried about the Iraq War. And my son was a student in Paris at the time, and he really didn't know very much about politics. He wasn't political. He was enjoying his studies, which was much more in terms of language, literature, poetry. But because everybody was worried, and he was worried too, he wanted to protest against the Iraq War. So he got drawn into an organisation by buying a newspaper outside his college, and it all started from there.
So he heard about an event that was taking place in Germany. Where was he studying?
In Paris.
In Paris, okay. So
he didn't hear about it. He bought a newspaper. He literally bought the newspaper sold by a man on the street outside his college. Hmm. And it was this man that said, if you want to protest against the war, you must join us with this protest. And that is when the whole thing started.
So he got lured into what he believed was a protest.
An anti-war protest, yes.
It took him to Germany as a result of it. You received a phone call from your son, didn't you? Because he was expressing his concern. He didn't think that something was quite right. Without sort of necessarily the details of that, what was that like for you when you get that phone call from your son saying, I'm a bit worried, something doesn't feel right. What was going through your mind then?
Well, I had been worried because I hadn't heard from him for a few days. And then I got this phone call at 25 past four in the morning, really. To me, it was the middle of the night. And it was a terrible phone call to receive because I could hear from his voice, you know, that he was in great danger. And it is the most painful, it is a very painful memory to hear his voice and to hear this phone call suddenly saying, you know, I'm in big, big trouble. And then to hear the phone being cut when he was trying to tell me and I was asking what's the matter. So it was a sort of every parent's nightmare to receive such a phone call. And then I asked him where he was, and he said he was in Wiesbaden in Germany. And I said to him, well, where is that? And he was in the middle of spelling it. W-I-E-S, and then the phone was cut, and I never heard his voice again. But from that moment on until today, I'm still trying to find out what happened.
So you got a phone call, what, about half an hour later? Well, it was about half an hour after that phone call that he died.
No, I didn't get any phone call from anybody telling me what had happened. I just knew that he was begging me to come that minute to rescue him, that moment. He said, I want to see you right now. Mm. And so I then made a 999 call, and I was engaged in many phone calls trying to find out what happened. And that's, you know, that is a very detailed account I could give you of that. But it was only at 4 o'clock the next day when the doorbell went, and my family had gathered because I had got nowhere with the police trying to find out what had happened or the Foreign Office. And I had said to his father, well, you know, if we've still heard nothing, we'll have to get on an aeroplane and just go there. And we were all ready to do that when the doorbell went and there was two policemen and they came in and they just came straight in and they said, your son is... Well, before I tell you that, I have to say that during that phone call, he named the people that he was frightened of. He talked about the group And he said, you know this group that I told you about? And he gave their name.
Mm.
And he said, I want to get away from them. So I actually knew that he was under threat. So when the police came in and just said, you know, your son is dead, we believe he committed suicide, I just screamed.
But it was literally that blunt. That's
how they
broke it to
you. It was so blunt. And I just, my reaction was to scream back, but I made a 999 call, but I've tried to tell you. And the one thing I do know is, I don't know what happened to him, but I know he didn't commit suicide. And of course, he'd also rung his girlfriend, so she'd also known that he was in trouble.
So the German authorities ruled Jeremiah's death as suicide, but you and your family believe otherwise, based on what he thought was a protest, obviously, to go to over the Iraq War, which turned out to be an event organised by the group LaRouche. What was going through... I don't even know how I can ask you this, but what was going through your mind when you've gone from that moment of learning that your son is in distress to learning that the worst possible thing had happened? What Can you even begin to describe what happened?
The immediate thought that I had, it was almost like an instinctual thing, was I have to speak to the last people who were with him. I have to find out what happened, because he was the last person in the world that anybody, his friends or me or anyone, would think would commit suicide. So for somebody to be idealistic and be concerned about the future of the world, which he was, and wanted to protest, and was, you know, his whole background was trying to sort of help people, to that person to suddenly commit suicide, you have to find an explanation. You have to say, well, what's happened? If he's committed suicide, what's caused this to happen? And at that stage, of course, I just kept thinking, I must get there, I must speak to the last people that were with him, I must find out what's gone on, because, you know, I was full of suspicion. And what we met after that in Germany in the police station was so shocking and so horrific that it was like it traumatized me all over again, and my family. Because what the policeman said when we, the next day, we went to Wiesbaden, we sat in the police station, he said, people are coming all the time to Wiesbaden to jump in front of cars and trains, and their parents never want to believe that it's suicide. And I was so shocked by that. And he seemed to tell me all sorts of very strange things that we couldn't account for. And also, you know, led me to believe that he was some sort of, that there was no need to investigate because it was suicide. And in fact, there was no need even to have a post-mortem.
Goodness me. Well, okay, we've obviously established that you do believe the circumstances are suspicious. You also are not alone in this fight. You've approached, I believe, various British authorities, including the Board of Deputies, who are, well, they are behind in trying to sort of help you with trying to find out exactly what happened. So where do the Board of Deputies stand on this? What they've written a new letter, haven't they?
Well, the recent letter that they wrote in December was as a result of knowing that ever since my son died 12 years ago, we have been working through the law in Germany and also the inquest system here to try and get an investigation. And eventually, two and a half years ago, a higher court in Germany ruled that there should be an investigation because they stated they had never investigated, and they actually criticised them. And what happened, we thought everything would be perfect, everything would then work out, we'd get justice for Jeremiah.
I don't know whether or not this is going to be an easy question for you to answer any more than the other questions I've asked have been that easy, but how do you cope with everything that has been thrown at you in the last 12 years, from learning every parent's worst nightmare? How do you actually cope with what's happened to you?
Well, it's been very difficult, and it's actually got more difficult. But when I realised, and I didn't know before, that there's so many families all over the world that have contacted me and told me things about what's happened to their sons and daughters. And when I think of my son saying to me, I want to see you, asking me to help him, then I do this because it's like a mother's instinct still. I'm still trying to help him, and I feel that if I can find out what has happened to him, then I will know that I've done what I could, and I'm hoping that in some way I can move on. But I don't think you ever move on. And as far as coping goes, I can't really answer that. I don't know how well I have coped or how well any of my family have coped. We've survived, as Jewish people do survive.
What are your hopes from all of this?
Well, I have found out that I'm in a very unusual position in that my son is dead and that nothing will bring him back. So I've got nothing to lose by speaking out, and I don't want it to happen to any other family. So I feel it's very important. I also feel it's very important for Jewish people to speak out. And I know that Angela Merkel has made a commitment to combat all forms of anti-Semitism. So I feel that I've got to do that also because my father was a refugee from Germany. And it's horrific for me to think that my lovely son, positive, and had a future before him, goes back to this country, Germany, and dies in suspicious circumstances. And as if that's not bad enough, the authorities want to brush the whole thing under the carpet and don't do a proper investigation.
Well, so. Erica, I don't think that there'll be one person listening to this right now who doesn't wish you all the very best in your pursuit for the truth that you'd be happy with, and with any luck, you will find all the answers that you and your family so desire. And of course, from everyone at Sunday Jewish Radio, we wish you long life.